The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist in possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do, for I do not have space to store my harvest?" And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus it will be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord. Does everyone have a favorite television show? I would say that most people today do, or at least they did at one point in their life. Maybe you don't anymore. You hear a lot in modern society today the term binging a show, right? Binging a show. I binged this show on Netflix or whatever format. And often I think to myself, I wonder if we were to spend more time binging on the Bible and prayer instead of our favorite Netflix show, where would our society be right now? Maybe something to think about. By the way, if you didn't know, we still have formed.org available. You can find the information in the bulletin. And you can binge Catholic programs. Form.org is like Netflix for Catholics. So I encourage that. Sometimes we get to know a show so well, we will know all the characters, we'll know the story. We'll think that we know the characters and the characters know us. But we know it's not real. Or do you have your favorite type of clothing, favorite book, favorite car, possibly your favorite singer? All these things are typical human desires. We easily attach ourselves to the things of this world that give us pleasure and are good things. But we often prefer these pleasures and good things of the world to God. Sometimes we attach ourselves to these things so closely that when they're gone, we don't know how to deal with it. What St. Paul says to do in this example, and when we're faced with this kind of spiritual dilemma, with words that guide us, I think, to spiritual action, he says you have to take off this old self and put on the new self. That's ordered toward self-righteousness and truth. The things of this world mean nothing if we attach ourselves to them alone. There's always something more. Jesus always offers something more. He offers himself, which is infinitely more than anything could give us. I love the way St. Paul teaches in this second reading. He says, you can't live up in your mind or your thoughts. You can't just live by your emotions and appetites. If you do that, you will find yourself constantly disappointed because you'll always want more. You'll need more. You'll never be satisfied with them. It's not how you were taught, though, in Jesus Christ. It's not what you learned in Sunday school, when you studied the catechism, or if you ever have studied the catechism, it says it in there. In other words, study the catechism. Those who are taught in Jesus Christ live and make decisions and grow in holiness by living in and through the truth. Jesus abides in truth, not in our head or in the attachment that you create to this world, that we all create to this world. But the world wants to possess us. We are lied to every single day by the world, telling us to live by bread alone. Live by your things that surround you. They'll make you happy. But we know this is a lie. Time and time again, we find no fulfillment in things. Go ahead and live by your emotions. Live by your jealousy of people. That will make you powerful, right? Live by your anger or grudge toward others. That will make people fear you, right? Live by your envy of what others have. That will make and help you to become a perfect individual, hating or disregarding people around you. If you have this perfect image, if I could have the perfect body, the perfect clothing, the perfect job and career, the perfect life, then all things would be perfect. Now, if this is your creed, and you might be thinking at this point, Father, you're exaggerating. Not that much, actually. But if you live by this creed in any way, then the world has possessed you. So all of us are constantly trying to find ways to turn back to God. To whatever degree the world has made us a slave, and we have to be free of this. Someone tried to convince me once of this moral sort of dilemma that we face in the world by saying, if you do what makes you happy, then it shouldn't make any difference. Just do what makes you happy. Everything should be okay, right? That's the world's creed. Just do what makes you happy. The problem is, happiness is such a confused reality today. I'll give you an example. In my priesthood, I have worked with people off and on my whole priesthood who struggle with addictions. I remember a person once when I was in Duncan who I met with almost every week. We would sit and talk. And she said to me once, when I'm drinking alcohol, it's what makes me really happy. She was an alcoholic. And she was serious. This is what makes me happy, but I know it's also what's killing me. In fact, in the time I was meeting with her, she almost died twice because of poisoning, the poisoning of alcohol in her body. Happiness can become quite disordered, confused, and as Jesus points out in the gospel, something that perishes. So what I usually respond and say to people who desire this happiness, I say, instead, desire holiness, right? Holiness of life. Desire to be sanctified in your body, mind, and soul. Desire to be blessed by God in all that you do. And if you are holy, then you will be happy. But a happiness that brings a fulfillment in all things. You'll want to strive for the things that don't perish, but that endure for eternal life. I'll give you another example. Cake. Who likes cake? Cake makes me happy. I love cake, I would even say. But I would not give my life for cake. I would not worship cake. I would not run into a burning building to rescue cake. What perishes makes us happy for a time, but if we are ready to eat the bread that endures for eternal life, then we are ready to put on the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the true bread from heaven, the thing that when we eat that bread, it does fulfill every true desire of the human heart. Jesus is the bread. He represents the answer to the slavery of the world that we all struggle with. I remember this short encounter with the priest in the seminary who, when he was asked if he would like to go and see and watch this particular movie with me and some seminarian friends. And so we were going one, I think it was a Friday evening, we were going to watch a movie in the movie room that we had at the seminary. And I don't remember the movie, you know, I'm sure it was something silly, you know, just something to pass the time and be entertained. We said, Father, would you want to come and watch this with us? And he quickly said, no. And we asked him, why? We think it's a good movie. And his response was simple. He said, because I have a soul. We were quite taken back. That's all he said. And he went on. We're like, oh, okay. What do we do with that? All of us were like, should we watch the movie? Is it good? But it's probably safe to say that this priest had figured out that we should live not to be happy or these always trying to find these simple pleasures, but to be holy. In his life, he had, I guess, moved past the desires for the simple pleasures that can be quite good in life, but are not everything. He found a holiness, a sanctity in his life with God that was enough for him. It was enough. The reaction that Jesus, the followers of Jesus, have when he mentioned the bread that gives life to the world, you remember the reaction that his apostles had. They said, give us this bread always. We want it always. The eternal bread from heaven, of course, we know is the Eucharist, what we receive at this altar. If you attach yourself to anything while you live and have breath, attach yourself to the Eucharist. On earth, the Eucharist is the true experience of heaven, It is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, his true presence. When you receive the body and blood of our Lord in the Eucharist, you will taste eternity. You will never hunger or thirst again. It is the true treasure that we should store up for eternal life. The grace received in this sacrament, in our life of God, within the church, in our prayer for each other, in our devotion to Mary and the saints, in how we pray and help and serve and love each other. This is the treasure of the church. And if we have it, you will be satisfied. You will be truly happy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.